Morning. This morning in class, if you remember at the beginning, I knew there was something else that I had to mention to class that I could not come up with, and so I just moved on, but I then remembered, thanks to some that have told me that they couldn't get through on the email for questions on the class, I did leave out a single letter in your books. Now, those that got books today, yours are corrected, but the other 60 books are not. It is Into the Deep Questions, not question, at gmail.com to send those questions. So if you do the other one, that your computer's just not going to, you know what it should be, you know, or what I should have put in the book. And I think I blamed Brian and I blamed Miss Nita, but I was at fault, so please forgive me. And so if you have questions, put the S on the end of it there and it'll get through. I think we all know that struggle of what to buy somebody. You know, there are just people out there that are hard to buy for. I'm easy. You know, buy me something electronic, and I'm good to go. But the struggle what to buy, you know, we run into those people that we kind of look at them, and they have everything, right? You know, what do I get that person? How do I decide? And we go, and we look, and everything we see, it's not quite right. So we struggle with that sometimes. How do we give the best gifts, though, to those we love? You know, sometimes we give gifts that we feel like they need. You know, I had an extended family member that just couldn't seem to figure out how the whole getting a job thing worked at 28 years old. And so I got him a book about kind of how to help him with that. I doubt he read it. And based on what happened afterwards, no, he probably didn't. But sometimes we try to get people things that they might need. We sometimes give gifts that will bring joy. You know, parents love to see the joy in their children's eyes. You know, as we give them things and as we see them open presents on Christmas morning, we love the joy in their eyes. Sometimes we give gifts that will surprise them. My children are the most paranoid children at Christmas that you'll ever see because they always believe, because we've done it so many times, that there's something else that we haven't given them. And there have been times when we didn't have anything else and they're looking around waiting because we'll have it somewhere else in the house or we'll make it pop out or something, whatever. So we get paranoid children around Christmas time. Sometimes we just like to see people get surprised by those things that we might give them. Sometimes we give gifts that show how much we love them and how much they mean to us. Sentimental gifts, we might call those, things that really try to express our feelings. You know, sometimes gifts have deeper meanings attached to them. You know, we see this with the wise men, right? When they came to Jesus and they brought that gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we know those gifts, but sometimes we don't realize the deeper meaning behind those gifts that they gave to Mary and Joseph on that particular day. In that gold was for a king. And that myrrh was for someone who was going to die. And that frankincense was a priest. All of those things describing what Jesus Christ would be. That he would be king. That he would be priest. And he was the person that came to this earth that was going to have to die to fulfill his purpose. And so, you know, we have those gifts that have a deeper meaning. I want us to consider this morning three gifts that we tend to give and how we might improve upon them. First, we give gifts that ultimately wear out. Gifts that are used up or break somewhere in the future, or the people who receive the gift within a very short period of time get bored with it. Gifts, you know, have you ever had that gift that you were so excited about getting and it just didn't quite live up to the expectation? You're like, man, this is the greatest gift ever. And once I get this, I'm going to be so happy. And yet, just in a very short period of time, it's like, okay, that wasn't really what I thought it was going to be. It doesn't live up to the billing that we had generated in our own minds. And you know, now, today, it's setting somewhere gathering dust, right, in our house. And we thought, boy, we're going to do everything with that. You know, I got a bandsaw some years back, and I had all kinds of plans to do all kinds of things. And I may need to oil that thing again before I turn it on, because it's been a while. You know, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus talked about certain things. He said, don't store up treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. There are things of this earth that we put a lot of our energies into. We need to understand that they're passing. That they're not going to be things that are going to last, whether they don't last because we lose interest in them or they don't last because that's just the nature of the world. We don't want to invest too much of our time and too much of our energy in those kind of things at the expense of those things that will last. Pretty much all gifts we give and receive during Christmas have no real, truly lasting value. Wouldn't it be better to give a gift that is eternal in nature? That will always enrich the lives of those who receive it and is always providing new blessings for them every day. And to give, and what I'm talking about there is to give someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the greatest gift we could give someone is the opportunity to know Jesus as the Bible reveals Him. I find it kind of amusing that during the time of the year that everybody's thinking about Jesus Christ, nobody really wants to hear about Him. Don't really want to receive any gifts that are going to tell me more about Him. A lot of people are like that. Oh, it's all about Christ, but I don't really want to know what He's had to say and what He commands for me in my life. They like Jesus as an excuse to receive gifts. Some people like Him as an excuse to have a few extra days off work and to have time maybe with family, but that's about the extent of it. And sometimes this can be the attitude of even those that would call themselves Christians. What if you gave someone a Bible this Christmas, along with some personal studies that they could do on their own with that Bible? How would you rate that gift? I remember, and this is not the Bible, because I had to stop using it about a year ago. That's a new one. But the Bible that I've used all since I was in seventh grade is falling apart. It's in my office. But I remember when I got that Bible. I remember the Christmas my mother gave that to us. We always were allowed to open one present on Christmas Eve. And the four of us were about as good at predicting presents as any four children ever. My parents started wrapping things in culture counter boxes. They worked in lab boxes so that we couldn't see through the paper. We did everything under the sun. But we knew these four packages sitting there were Bibles. I mean, you could squeeze them. You could just tell, you know, it had that Bible consistency, right? It had the Bible shape. I mean, these were Bibles, and we knew it. And Mother, we sat down on Christmas Eve. We're excited to get our one gift for Christmas Eve night, and she gets those. We don't want the Bibles. We want one of the other things. Do you know what? I don't remember anything else I got that Christmas. But I wore that Bible out, right? It had a much greater lasting value to it than anything else I received on that particular Christmas. She did more for me in that than all the other stuff combined. And I guarantee you all the other stuff costs a whole lot more. My mother does not have any self-control. We nearly lost the house every year in January. Because that woman cannot stop buying presents for her children. Still to this day, we tell her, Mom, don't do that. Don't tell me what to do. But the Bible, so important. You know, giving someone the gospel by telling them about Jesus in some way is the best gift you can give to somebody that hasn't come to Christ. It is eternal. Obeying the gospel of Jesus not only provides us a good life here, it provides us eternal life according to Romans chapter 6 and verses 22 and 23 where it says that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, it gives the person who obeys it great peace and joy. You know, that's a Christmas tagline, is it? Peace and joy. And yet the only place that is found is in Christ Jesus. It's not just going to happen. It is only found in what He provides to those that come to Him. It provides new blessings and opportunity every day for a person's entire life. In Lamentations chapter 3, in verses 22 through 23, he says, and we know this song very well, we sing it here. He says, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Every day it's new. Every day it's better when I live in Jesus Christ. And so I give a gift that truly lasts. Now that's a gift worth having. That's a gift worth keeping and giving throughout a person's eternal existence. You know, second as well, sometimes at Christmas we are more inclined to help the needy in some way, clothing drives, food baskets, soup kitchens, whatever it may be. And once again, these are temporal and fleeting efforts, much like gifts, because they're going to need clothes again next year. They're going to need to be fed within just a few hours again. However, if we give people the opportunity to come to God to seek Him first in their lives, as Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, God says, I'll give them those things. I feed the birds. They don't toil, they don't sow, they don't reap. I take care of the birds. He says, are you not much more important than a bird? I clothe the lilies of the field in greater splendor than even Solomon had. Are you not much more important than a lily? Than the grass of the field? Seek first Him and His kingdom, and He says, I will add all those things to you. See, you bring a person to God, God takes care of that then. God. And yet sometimes we want to do the things that pass away and forget to give people what they really need. That's how we truly help someone long term. And don't get me wrong, the gifts of food and clothing are good and loving things that we should do. But you know, it's sort of like give a man a fish, right? You feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish, you feed him for a life. You know, you can give a man a meal and he's hungry. He's satisfied for a meal. You give him God and God takes care of him for his life as long as he seeks Him. And we need to understand what truly helps people. We need to give a man his needs. You know, we can give a man his needs, but we need to ultimately give him God who provides for needs. Third, sometimes we give those who pass our homes the joy of pretty lights, right? Some people, I don't know how they pay their electric bill. I mean, it is just crazy. I wanted to write something. We just put up a retaining wall in the front of our house, and I wanted to write something on it this year, but never did get to do it. But, you know, we like to do the lights. And we like to see the lights. We go to these neighborhoods where they do the lights. And we enjoy driving through those and seeing what people come up with and the creativeness behind some of those lights. But, you know, we are lights, folks. And we shine not just at night or when the switch is flipped, but we shine every moment of every day throughout the year. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let our light shine. To show the truth of God, to show the truth of Christ in us and through us, so that they may know God and glorify Him. That's the lights that we most need to have in our lives. They need to be shining bright for all to see. But you know, we need to show them a life that truly exemplifies Jesus Christ, because so many claim to be celebrating Him at this time of year. Let's show them who He is by word and deed. And let's not just do that during the Christmas holidays, right? All through the year. Jesus is not the reason for the season. He is the reason for every season. For every moment of our life. Our theme this past year has been being so focused. And in this season, when people tend to be a little more focused, Jesus focused, what a perfect match for our being so focused to go to them. What opportunities may be open to us at this time. People are thinking about the one who came to seek and to save the lost souls of this world. That was Jesus' entire purpose on this earth. To seek and to save that which is lost, both in His life and in His death and in His resurrection. That was His purpose. And if we're going to celebrate Him, if we're going to think about Him in any shape, fashion, or form, it's got to be about that. It's got to be about saving souls, because that's when we are most like who He is when we take on the purpose that He lived. We honor Him by that and the gift of His life when we give that gift that He has given to us to someone else. Now, I don't want re-gifts, okay? I don't want something you've had for 10 years. But this is the one thing that you do need to re-gift, isn't it? It's given to you. Take it and give it to someone else so that they can know the joy of salvation in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes our struggle is we try to find the perfect gift, right? Husbands, you ever try to find that perfect gift for your wife? How many of you have done that and the blender just wasn't it? Or that brand new vacuum cleaner with all the gadgets? How was that? I saw one raise his hand. And I noticed that he's not sitting real close to his wife. Sometimes we try to find that perfect gift and we fail. You know why? Because God already gave it. God gave the perfect gift. And the perfect gift is Jesus Christ, and He gave Him to you and He gave Him to me. He gave Him to all creation. If only we will take that gift and use it in our lives. Allow it to change our lives into Jesus Christ. This morning you have the opportunity to take hold of that gift, to allow it to change your life, to allow it to forgive you of your sins, to allow it to change you into a new creature, into a child of God. That gift is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to believe in Him. Not just believe in Him at Christmas time when it's convenient, or when it's convenient and everybody else is thinking about it, but to believe in Him with all of your heart that He is what you need for your life in all areas. To repent of your sins, to decide that's not the life I want to live. I want to live the life that Christ wants me to live. To take the gift of His knowledge as God and apply it to my life that I might live better. To confess Him as the Son of God before all. And to be buried in baptism, having His blood that was shed on the cross for you wash away your sins, to rise to walk a new life in Him. And to take the gift that's been given to you and to give it to someone else. You know, if everybody did that, how many people would we have in this auditorium on any given Sunday? If everybody gave the gift to just one other person, that would be huge. But the Great Commission to go continues on throughout life. This morning, if you are a child of God and maybe you have been stuck in physical things, it's all about what I have right here on this earth. And maybe, hopefully, you realize that these things aren't going to last. These things are going to pass away. The rust and corrupts, and thieves break in and steal those things. But there is something more important for your life. You want to rededicate yourself to it. And that's the spiritual things in Jesus Christ. Do that. We can assist you in any way this morning, whether it is to come to the gospel of Jesus, to lay hold of the gift, or to retake hold of that which you have forgotten. We want to help you. Why don't you come as together we stand and as we sing.